Blog Talk Radio.
Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Wow. Nate, how you doing? I got this whole intro I always do. Hello, how you doing out there? I hope I find you feeling healthy on this July 29th, 2021, day before the trade deadline. Nate, I'm just going to dive right in. It felt like all afternoon up to and including now, 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, here on the Baseball Buffet. I just keep getting update after update. It is absolutely wild trade deadline this year. A lot of big names being moved. I really can't remember a trade deadline quite like this. At the same time, I think maybe because the Yankees are so involved, maybe I feel that much more. We're live right now, again, on the Sports City Chefs Network. If you want to call us and talk about the trade deadline, give us a shout, 929-477-2759. Again, 929-477-2759. We got a lot of big names on the move. I'm checking, Nate. I think I just saw the official word on Max Scherzer. I got to check the Jeff Passan feed, his thumbs have been very busy today. And I am seeing now that 5 minutes ago, Jeff Passan said, the Dodgers are finalizing a deal to acquire right-hander Max Scherzer and star shortstop Trey Turner from the Washington Nationals for a massive prospect haul, sources tell ESPN. The blockbuster of blockbusters is going to happen. Nate, I would love to get your quick thoughts. I am going to do the little bit where I read around the room and talk about the scores. Honestly, as a Yankee fan, I'm just going to pretend the actual on-the-field baseball didn't happen today. But, Nate, dude, how you doing on this crazy, crazy day?
Oh, it is great. Another great, great day to be talking baseball, talking some baseball trades, talking some baseball moves. Honestly, I thought the Scherzer sweepstakes was done and dusted, but that was my fault for actually trusting Jim Bowden to get something correct earlier this afternoon. But, you know, this deal to potentially send Scherzer and Trey Turner from the Nationals to the Dodgers, is that not just the most Dodgers thing in the world? You know, the Padres look like they're going to finally get the one up on the Dodgers, make the next step in that rivalry, move up and be like, no, we're going to push the Giants. And then the Dodgers come back big. Oh, you think you got Scherzer? That's cute. I'm taking Scherzer and Trey Turner. The only thing that's going to make it funnier is when the deal finally gets done and it turns out the Nationals are still paying Max Scherzer the contract, as we will see, as we'll talk about with some of these other deals on the show today.
That's pretty wild to me, is the way, the teams are trading players away, getting prospects, but they're paying the stars that are leaving. Man, we've only got an hour to go through this, so I'm going to breeze through the scores real quick. We had the Yankees, whatever they played. They lost 14-0. Gerrit Cole got shellacked. It was embarrassing, but Gerrit Cole, just this kryptonite does seem to be the Rays, so whatever that happened. The mentioned Nationals actually went out and beat the Phillies 3-1. Scherzer got his win today to go up to 8-4, and Wheeler takes the loss going to 8-6. Right now, Washington, again, noteworthy, probably one of the teams we'll talk about the most. And by the way, they played two today. They won the first, and I think lost the second. I might have it backwards, but they split. Right now, Washington is sitting at 47-55, pretty much given up. Philly is at 500, still right in the thick of things in that NL East. Speaking of the NL East, Atlanta toppled the Mets today, 6-3. I'm sorry, Atlanta now a game under, or half a game under 500 at 51-52. The Mets still sitting pretty there at 55-47. Quite an interesting record for such a good team. White Sox, still the red hot White Sox. I don't know. Maybe they're going to start cooling off a little bit. Sitting at 60-43, they do fall to Kansas City, not a very good team, in a game that was 5-0. Cincinnati lifts their record to 54-49 after a 7-4 win over the Cubs, who we'll certainly talk a little bit more about. The other game that had finished up earlier was the San Francisco Giants beating the Dodgers 5-0. Cueto gets his 7th win to go up to 7-5. Meanwhile, Price takes his first loss on the record, going down to 4-1. And I don't know, man, maybe that 5-0 loss to the Giants just really kicked the GM right in the hiney. But, that was something else. A couple games going on right now. The one farthest down the road is Baltimore, your beloved Orioles, down 1-4 against Detroit. So Detroit at 49-55, which I find a very interesting record. They're kind of treading water a little bit more than I would have expected, but I don't expect anything out of them. Milwaukee is up 6-0 against Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. Milwaukee sits 60-42. On the year, one of the teams that has crossed that 60-win threshold. And Pittsburgh has 63 losses, so not two teams going different directions. Some other games going on a little bit later. We have Oakland versus L.A. in a battle of California. Oakland right now at 57-46. The Angels are 51-50. And then our nightcap tonight will be Colorado going to San Diego. The team has a 59-45 record. We have a lot to say about a lot of the teams we mentioned. And, Nate, as I was going through some of these, it just felt like every team – it felt like every one of these games and everyone had a team that was involved or being discussed in some way, be it Milwaukee and Pittsburgh. You know, you've got some action there. Toronto and Boston, is somebody in the AL East going to make a move? The A's have already made some moves. Obviously, we know the Padres are in the thick of it. The Dodgers and the Giants, just the entire NL West. The Cubs starting to dump people. Let's just take a quick moment and take a look at some of the deals that we've already had today. I think right now, the headline of the day has to be Scherzer and Turner going to the Dodgers. Anthony Rizzo and Joey Gallo both going to New York, I think, is also a very interesting move. Let's also not forget, I mean, the Dodgers did add Duffy in the bullpen. Before we keep going on with the trade stuff, there's a lot more to talk about, but I do want to take a quick moment, Nate, and mention the Terry Francona situation going on in Cleveland, which is not what you want to see. I would be wrong to not bring this up, but Terry Francona, he's 62, and he's had a lot of health issues over the last couple of years, and he will be taking the rest of the season away from the game, and bench coach DeMarlo Hale will take over. It's not what you want to see. We just I know, Nate, you'll echo my sentiments here, but we're sending our best out to Terry Francona, the Cleveland Indians, soon to be Cleveland Guardians organization. But that's something you hope he does. He comes back as good as he can, and you always root for guys like that. Terry Francona is definitely one of those guys in baseball that you just always find yourself rooting for, even if you don't like him. But Nate, okay, I've set quite a plate for you, a whole lot of things the trades. You know, I don't even know if you really want to touch on some of the stuff on the field. But let's just open slate. What do you got? What do you think about some of the things that we've seen today?
You know, I'm gonna nibble on this little side dish over here and talk about a team that that you didn't even touch on. I love that the Mariners are going for it. They've just kind of like quietly sat right underneath the Brenner radar. They added Anderson from the Pirates after that deal fell through with the Phillies, and now today they finalized a trade with the Rays to get Diego Castillo and JT Chargois. Well, they exchanged players, Diego Castillo and JT Chargois. You know, they also sent out their best reliever right after a big comeback win. So, you know, the Mariners, Jerry DePoto, if there's one thing Jerry DePoto loves to do, it's to work trades. He's just made that blatantly obvious. If he has a guy on his roster, probably going to trade him at some point. So I love that the Mariners are actually, like, involved in all this. But, and I mean, like you said, the highlights, though, are who's going to win this Max Scherzer sweepstakes? Who's going to land Trey Turner? Are the Nationals going to be able to offload Kyle Schwarber, who apparently is drawing some interest, too? And after Scherzer goes, who gets in on the race for Jose Berrios? Looks like a bunch of AL East teams probably competing for him. We touched on the Milwaukee Brewers when we were talking about the Pirates game, and they're absolutely just drubbing the Pirates right now, which, whatever. But Milwaukee been surprisingly quiet, even though, you know, 60 wins, 60-42, they're looking like a team that's – I didn't expect them to maintain this pace and keep walking away from the NL Central the way they are, but I'm a little surprised they haven't been more aggressive. Let's see if maybe they make a deal here in the next couple of hours or by the trade deadline tomorrow.
Yeah, I just, you know, so I'm thinking if you're the GM of the Padres, I wonder how close Scherzer was to going to San Diego. I'm a believer that when there was smoke, there's fire, even if it wasn't any sure type of thing. But I'm a little disappointed. I kind of agree. I'm a little disappointed in both really the Brewers and the Padres for having not done a whole lot. I don't, you know, you wonder if the teams like those two teams are they remind me somewhat, really more the Brewers do, remind me somewhat of the way we felt about the Royals a couple years ago when they had a couple of good years and a good run, and you could feel the ascension, and I sense that with both Milwaukee and San Diego, although I do think San Diego is I think better poised for a longer run. I just love that they made a very clear decision when they gave Machado the money that they're going for it and they want this to be a winning franchise. And sometimes you'll see teams do things like that. They'll spend the money on the one big player, but they don't really build around him. I think San Diego is doing those things. But this specific trade deadline, it feels to me either you make a move or you don't. You make a move to sell, you make a move to buy. But if you make no move, staying neutral is really an arrow pointing down. And I don't like that it feels, if you're a team that's in the hunt right now, that you have to make some move. I'm really curious if, you know, the Red Sox do anything. I mean, right now they're getting shellacked by Toronto. Although, you know, looking at it right now, pretty much all the games are at least, there's nothing close on the board, really. So I wonder how those teams that aren't making moves feel, if they feel any sense of pressure. You know, you've now given the GM of the Padres, he's got a day to do whatever he can. And I think it just seems to me, Nate, I get this sense San Diego is going to try to do something. They might be a little aggressive, but I think they'll do something. I'm a little disappointed. I also haven't seen the Mets do much. It's a really weird team the Mets are, you know, for where they are on the, you know, where they are sitting atop the division. Is there anybody you think you can think of right now that with a day to go in the trade deadlines, a lot of names have moved, but a lot also have not, Anything you're looking to see happen in the next couple of days, or in the next couple of days, the next couple hours, really, to either make a move or stand pat that you would be disappointed if they did?
You know, really, there's a couple of teams that on the other end of the spectrum, so not really the contenders who I'm not really looking to see who are the contenders going to add. Although the White Sox have been surprisingly quiet on a lot of these moves too. I want to see who they,
that's a good point.
Do they make a move? But what's interesting, you know, as a fan of two teams that are in the cellar dwell, the perennial cellar dwellers and in sell mode, I'm kind of hoping that a team like the Padres, well, the Padres specifically, or maybe the Brewers or somebody sees some of the moves that these other contenders are making, and I hope they do get desperate. So, like, maybe San Diego, they lose out on Scherzer, and the Twins end up dealing Berrios to somebody in the AL East. Now, all of a sudden, the Padres are here, and they're like, crap, we need pitching, and there's no starters out here. Well, you know what? If we can't adjust the starters, let's go get the bullpen. And then somebody like the Orioles, you know, we got two lefties, big power arm lefties in our bullpen that are very much expendable. Can we now sell them off to somebody for way more than we normally would because all of a sudden they're desperate? I'm kind of watching that and be like, okay, as like how can my team benefit from this? Like, kind of a flooded market right now for the chips that we have, but is somebody going to get desperate?
Yeah, I really think we're going to see a team get desperate and pull a trigger on something. So I just pulled up the standings. And one of the things that – let's take a look at the NL first. So you look at the NL East right now. You've got the Mets at the top, 54-47, and then the Phillies are at 500, so they're 3.5 back, and then the Braves 4 back. The Nationals are 7.5 back and selling everything, clearly. So they're in tank mode. It stinks. The Marlins are 10.5 back. Last year's NL East, one of the playoff representatives, didn't see that kind of a precipitous drop coming from them. But so you think who's chasing in that division, the Phillies and the Braves? I don't know if either of them have the pieces that a team would be looking for. Nate, when you go look at the standings on ESPN.com, they always have on the far right that L10 column, which is the last 10 games. And every team in the NL East in the last 10 games is either 5-5 or 4-6. That's crazy. That also says to me there's either not a lot of consistency or it's incredibly consistent. I'm not quite sure which one it is. It's like, you know, consistency through inconsistency. But I don't see anybody running away with it. So, yeah, I mean, if the Braves or the Phillies wanted to make a move, I think the Braves are in actually slightly better shape. And also, you know, because we don't know what's going on with Ozuna. I assume we're not going to see Ozuna the rest of the year. With everything going on with him. So I think the Braves seem like a team that could make a move. Phillies always seem to do something, Nate. I mean, is there anybody in the NL East? I mean, do you think the Phillies or Braves should make a move?
You know,
because the Mets don't seem like they're running away with it.
No, but you also threw out there the, we're kind of at the deadlines. You're either a buyer or a seller. And if you're a team, if you're standing pat, it's kind of an arrow down, like if you're not getting better, if you're not actively getting better, you're probably getting worse. I don't know that I fully buy into that. And if I'm a National League team, specifically the Phillies and the Braves, and I guess I throw the Reds into this conversation too.
I was wondering if you're going to throw the Reds in there.
Yeah, the Reds and I guess St. Louis. I mean, if Philly and Atlanta are in the conversation, then St. Louis is in the conversation as well. You know, you got these teams that are sitting around 500, but when you look at the National League, I mean, the wild card's coming out of the NL West. Both wild card spots aren't they? I mean, the Dodgers and the Padres and the Giants, whoever doesn't win that division, you pretty much expect the other two guys to have the wild card. And the Reds right now are, I guess, the closest within shouting distance. They're 4.5 back. Are they really going to be able to make that push? Same with the Cardinals. And, you know, Philly, Atlanta, like, no, the Mets aren't walking away with that division, but it's pretty clear to me that the Mets are far and away the best team in the East, even though the standings aren't really playing that out. I mean, although, like, you know, Atlanta does have the plus 47 run differential. The Mets only have the plus 2 because they can't really score, but you can't score on the Mets. So, I don't know. Some of these teams in the National League, yeah, you're hanging around 500. Yeah, you're within 5 with 60-some-odd games to play, so it's not undoable to make a run, but is it really worth mortgaging your future?
Let me just also point out, by the way, for the Mets, that their Carlos Carrasco is going to join the rotation, I think, in the next week, possibly tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. And I think that's a big deal. Just even if he's a literal average player, I just think that means so much if you have a guy that can get six-ish innings and just take juice away from the bullpen, or just take gasoline out of that bullpen and just extend them. And then also Noah Syndergaard is going to come back, I believe, at some point. You know, I think he'll come back at the very end of the season, and he'll be – I could see him maybe even being, you know, them throwing a guy in the bullpen or something like that. Every so often you'll see a team take a starter at the towards the end of the season coming back from injury and putting him in a bullpen or putting him in weird situations. So I think the Mets can stand pat, but I think if Philly or Atlanta tries to chase him, I think they could catch him. I really do. But let's move to the next division, because I do want to ask you if you think – I mean, the Brewers right now, they're 6.5 up on the Reds, and St. Louis is now 9 back in that division. And, like, you know, right now the Reds are the only team it feels like in striking distance of the wild card spot. Right now, like you said, the Dodgers are 3 up in the wild card, and they're 10. They just got Scherzer and Trey Turner, so I don't see them falling off. And the Padres, you just have to think the Padres are going to do something. I'm talking today, Nate, as if the Padres have already done some pretty wacky deal to upgrade the roster. But looking at that Central, do you think the Reds should really add something big and try to go after the Brewers in the Central, because with the understanding that they might not catch the Dodgers or the Padres?
Man, you know, I don't like the idea of, as Reds, if I'm the Reds GM, I'm kind of looking at it and being like, I don't think we catch them. And if we can't catch them with the guys that we have, I don't think that I don't see a guy out there that's going to shift things in our favor a whole lot to run down the Brewers. And they're definitely not going to run down the Padres or the Dodgers. And, you know, at this point, you look at where their records sit with San Diego, LA, and throwing Milwaukee. If you don't think you're going to run down Milwaukee, Milwaukee is only about a game. Milwaukee is a half game better than where San Diego is. So if you don't think you're going to run down Milwaukee, I don't know why you would think that you could run down the Padres.
Well, I think running down Milwaukee is significantly easier than running down the Padres. What I don't have in front of me, and I would need to look it up, is what does the rest of the Reds schedule look like? I think that could also dictate a lot in how they proceed. So I'm looking at it right now. They got, let's see, because you're looking at Milwaukee. They've got another set in late August. Wow, they really – wait, what? They only play – huh. That's not going to help the Reds. They only play Milwaukee 1, 2, 3 more times this season. Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, this
that's
is going to
make
this
that hard.
This is something that Major League Baseball, with their scheduling, they really need to do a better job next year. I get it. Some of it was – pandemic COVID related this year, but they already play an unbalanced schedule. And then the way that they shook up the way that they did the scheduling this year, I don't know if it was intentionally COVID, but you know, you had the Orioles and the Yankees played each other, what, like three times? We had three series or four series against each other inside of a month. There were several times this year where the Orioles would play like, oh, we have a home series against the Yankees and a home series against the Rays. And we turn around and we go from that home series. It was like Rays-Yankees, and we went and played the Rays and the Yankees on the road. It's like, guys, a little more creativity. We shouldn't be playing the same two, three teams 100 times within 2 weeks. And now you end up with stuff like this where, you know, you got the Reds. They're trying to run down the team in first place. And we have 2 months of baseball, and they get one series against the guys that they're trying to run down. Why can't we figure out a way to balance this out a little bit more? But
it's one of those things that I always just, you know how I feel. I think that football has a right. Just the way, no matter what, you end the season with a divisional opponent. And I think baseball really needs just to build the importance and then have some formula fill in the rest. If anybody out there is listening, by the way, and a fan of those ESPN podcasts or those documentaries, I highly recommend you check out a quick short one called The Schedule Makers. Really cool little story about how the MLB schedule used to be built by actual human beings, and then they shifted to a formula. But Nate, one of my absolute favorite things of the show is happening right now. We got a caller calling in on our number, which is 929-477-2759, and we're going to bring in our caller before we get a chance to look at the NL West and who we got today.
Hey, what's going on, man? It's Mike. I just called to join and be part of the group tonight.
Dude, Mike, you picked the day, man.
I know, man. I told you guys last night that I thought the Padres and I might pull off something crazy for Scherzer and Turner, and now it looks like the Dodgers have said, no, we're not going to let them have all the fun.
I was really hoping the Padres would get him.
Yeah, I kind of was too, or even the Giants, just because it would have been different. But to your point, you were mentioning the Dodgers and the Padres a minute ago, and you know, the Giants haven't really shown me that they're really going to fade either. I mean, to be honest with you right now, I think three of the five playoff teams are coming from the West, right? I think you're going to get one team out of the East, and you're going to get one team out of the out of the Central. And
that's the way
your
it
other
be,
point
though.
Of, I don't know. Like, maybe this year, maybe. But to your point, like, about the scheduling, same thing happened. I mean, Atlanta just finished a series with the Mets, and they had to finish some rainouts or whatever. But they have three games left, the last three games of the year. They don't play each other again. They've already played 16 games so far this year. So you're starting to see, I mean, that happens. That's happening in more than just the Central Division. And I the other thing that I'll say before we move on to the next topic, if you guys don't mind, I'd just like to join in and you know, go through with you guys and shout out to the end and all that kind
you're
of
here.
Stuff. Right? But, yeah, so the other thing that I'll say is I think that the Brewers, I mean, it's a quiet move in some ways, and a lot of people thought that guy was going to the White Sox, but the Brewers very quietly helped themselves with Escobar, right? So if you're the Reds,
yes.
I know they've had some injuries, but, I mean, listen, if you go back, you know, I check for fantasy purposes and whatever else, I check starting lineups every day, batting orders on Baseball Press. And if you go back and look, like in May, like the Brewers had some lineups out there that, honest to God, look like AAA lineups, right? And like some, who are these people? What are they doing here? Kind of thing. The Brewers had some pretty rough lineups in May, and for them to have found a way to like keep their head above water while they're trying to see if Christian Yelich can return to himself, and you had other guys out before they ended up making a couple of trades and bringing in Escobar and Adames. You know, the Brewers had some pretty shaky lineups, and they were able to keep their heads above water and, you know, kind of stretch it out. So that's a tough hill to climb for the Reds, and I think it's even more made more treacherous by the Castellanos injury, right? Like, he was having a fantastic year, and you take a big bat out of the middle of that lineup, and, you know, that definitely hurts you. It doesn't give, you know, Winker and Indian, all those guys at the top, protection. That being said, Joey Votto, he's turned back the hands of time, too, recently. He's playing some ball.
So, one thing I have a question for both.
I don't think the – go ahead, Dave.
Sorry. Just a quick question for you guys. Is this the Reds? They've got a bit of an older roster. And I'm wondering if you're the Reds, at some point you have to say, if not now, then when? This, I know we all seem to feel that they shouldn't go for it or something like that. I mean, you know, Votto's 37. If not now, then when? And if you're not going to go for it, sell Votto and rebuild. Sorry, I just had to make that point on their age.
I completely forgot that.
I think the only thing that I would say, though, is, A, Votto has been a part of that franchise for his whole career. You know, if you think about our show last night, you know, TP was talking about letting some guys stay with the franchise. And I almost think the Reds should do that with Votto if they possibly can. Because you look, and you're still pretty young. Jonathan India just came into the majors, you know, this year pretty much. Winker's still fairly young. They still have some, right? So I mean, for a corner outfielder, he's still got a lot in the tank, right? Like, I mean, they still have some young pieces, but I don't know if it's Votto that you ship out or what. They have to, they got to continue to upgrade that pitching staff. I feel like the interesting thing to me is one of the weird anomalies. You look at what he's done the last couple of years, and Luis Castillo just started this year in such a rut on the mound. Like, he's still 4-10. His ERA is finally back down into the low fours, but I mean, that's your ace. That's, you know, you want to ask why the Reds are off the pace, and that's one of the reasons, right? That's the guy you were counting on to take the next step to be a serious contender for, you know, I don't know about Cy Young with Jacob DeGrom breathing, but you're expecting him to become one of the better pitchers in the National League.
So you think he'll level himself out?
I would expect more out of Castillo probably next year, and to have him close down the year. But it's astounding to me the way that the Reds just keep finding pitchers, but only ever one at a time. Because, you know, they had Johnny Cueto for a long time. They had Trevor Bauer last year when they made the playoffs. And then they have Luis Castillo, who maybe not this year unless they pull off something really miraculous. But it is rough because, Dave, I completely forgot about the point that you brought up, that they are getting up there in age. They do have some young guys that they could maybe build around. But, you know, maybe that is a factor that you kind of take the if not now then when approach. But I just think that the distance is a little too great. Problem is, you can't – like, there's nobody out there clamoring for Joey Votto's bat right now. Well, I mean, not anymore now that the Yankees have already acquired their two left-handed bats that they would want. But if Joey Votto were ever be in pinstripes, that would make me disrespect him on an entirely new level, and that would just make me cry bitter tears. So.
Well, and, you know, another thing to me with the Reds, like, you just think about things that have gone wrong. Like, when he came out, everybody believed in him, and, you know, he had such a high ceiling. But Nick Senzel just cannot get – he can't be healthy, right? They've tried him in second base. They've tried him in center field. He's got a bat when he's on the field, but he's not healthy, and he can't be. I mean, Kyle Farmer was not counted on to play the majority of their games at shortstop this year.
So –
Yeah,
all great. Right.
Go ahead, Dave.
I don't know. If I'm the Reds, I just either go for it or not. And if you're going to sell, you got to drop Votto. And then I think you could also move a guy like a Wade Miley. But I want to take a quick moment. Mike, I certainly appreciate you calling in. And I do want to take a quick shift to the AL. But did you guys have any last thoughts on the NL? Because honestly, the NL is way more interesting than the AL. So I just want to give you guys a chance to finish it up. But I want to take a look at some of the moves that are happening on the other side of baseball.
So the one thing that I'll say in the National League is I'm kind of surprised Rizzo was the first to go. I'm still curious to see what happens or if Chris Bryant is moved. By the deadline tomorrow, I said last night I was really interested to see what the Cubs do, because we've been hearing sell, sell, sell for so long, right? So I'm curious to see what happens with Bryant. You know, I've heard rumors of Kimbrel to the Phillies. Does that take place? You know, if they do trade Kimbrel, where does he go? So those are the couple pieces with Chicago. Do the, you know, the Braves are still saying that they're trying to search for upgrades to their roster. What does that look like? And do they package one of those older pitchers like Drew Smyly or somebody with the emergence of Kyle Muller and Tuki Toussaint? I'm curious to see what happens there because, you know, the Braves are three or four out right now going into August. I mean, they haven't shown that they can put together a long stretch. Freddie Freeman's gotten hot. Obviously, we know what happened with Osuna and all that. So I'm curious to see, you know, what moves may be made there because I still think when you look at the Mets and you look at DeGrom and you look at everything in that division, I still think that's a very winnable division for probably three teams now. You can't really count the Nationals as far as being able to win that division, and Florida or Miami, excuse me, are too far back. But there are three teams that could still theoretically win that Eastern division. So I'm curious to see if any moves are made there. And then obviously we were just talking about the West. That's what was interesting to me to see who got Scherzer on the West Coast, if it happened. And I was also curious to see if San Francisco pulled off anything else to try to keep pace. I almost wondered if Arizona was going to send away some other people too. So I guess that's, since you're leaving the National League, I'm sorry I threw a bunch in there at one time, but you actually
no, that's
all
right.
The National League. So there you go.
I wanted to make sure you had your chance, my dude.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So, you know, looking at the AL, right now in your division leaders are the same ones that it feels like we've had all year, except for little bunches in the West. But, you know, the Red Sox are now two games ahead of Tampa Bay. That division, that is getting a little bit closer with Boston at 63-40 and Tampa at 61-42. And honestly, I think that's the only other division that I look at as a true 1-2 race to the top. I mean, I guess the Dodgers and the Giants now is going to get infinitely more interesting with the latest moves. But I do think the Red Sox and Tampa's very unusual in trading away good players, but also acquiring good players, shuffling the chairs on the deck, as some would say, although it's not like the boat's sinking anytime soon. And then in the Central, you pretty much have the White Sox than everybody else. Cleveland is in second at 8 back, not happening. I mean, they are a half a game over 500, but, you know, especially with the manager stepping away, you don't know. And Houston is pretty much running away in the West, and I don't know if the Athletics will be enough for the rest of the season to come back from being 6 back right now. But I say all of that without taking the, you know, from a division standpoint, but if you do look at the wild card, yes, Tampa's 4 up, and Oakland holds that second spot 2 games ahead of Seattle. So if you do want to view the Oakland, Seattle, New York, and then, yeah, I'm saying New York completely biased based on some of the moves they did. You could also throw in Toronto.
I think you have to.
Yeah, you just have to. They're just a team. Boy, I mean, look, if I'm just gonna close my eyes, pretend I'm not a Yankee fan and I'm just a pure baseball fan, I think the most intriguing team out of that whole set, Tampa, Oakland, Seattle, the Yankees, and the Blue Jays, in terms of just sheer interesting from a baseball standpoint, I got to put maybe the Blue Jays at the top. I mean, of all the teams you'd want to see just do something, would be those guys. And then, yeah, Tampa's interesting. I just think inherently the Yankees are an interesting story in baseball. You know, just like people like to hate watch certain franchises, like, for instance, I have to get this in here, the LeBron, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, Los Angeles Laker juggernaut. You know, there's those teams that are just juggernauts and people love to hate them. I'll talk about the Yankees in a sec, but I just want to point out too that I brought up the Rays, A's, M's, Yankees, and J's. Those teams are, the J's are at the bottom of that pile, but they're only a half a game ahead of the Cleveland soon-to-be Guardians and the Los Angeles, California Angels of Anaheim.com or whatever they are now. And then there's the big drop to Detroit. But maybe the AL wild card is a little bit more open than I thought, and that is one of those cases where these little tweaks you're making right now will make a big difference. And the Yankees, Nate and I, we were talking before the show. Mike, I love to hear your thoughts on this, but I think one of the biggest problems the Yankees faced in terms of their team construction, and I know you've been hearing me say this for the last number of weeks, Mike, I think the way the team was constructed had some medium to small problems. I'm not going to say they were astronomical, and part of it was the fact that the whole lineup was right-handed. You're in Yankee Stadium. You have a short right field, and you're not taking advantage of it. Well, in Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo, you're putting two lefty bats in that lineup that can help break up Judge and Stanton and even Sanchez and to a point like a LeMahieu. You can really just break it up a lot. And I think that'll be enormous for the Yankees. And Nate said to me that it's like you're taking Aaron Judge's bat and flipping it around. I said, you're just taking another Aaron Judge, putting in the lineup. And I said, yeah, but you're flipping it around and making the opposing manager have to think about it a little bit more. So, Mike, what do you think of those two moves that the Yankees made by adding Gallo and Rizzo?
So, I like them. I like the moves for the Yankees batting order. I do think that it balances their order out a lot. Joey Gallo might hit 200, but he could hit 40 home runs, right? Like Rizzo's got your average. Rizzo's got your average, though, your own base guy. He's kind of more of a consistent threat. But to me, like, I understand that they can get better offensively, and that makes sense. And, I mean, it's a good thing because – The problem with the Yankees has been consistency on the mound, really. I mean, for a lot of this year, right? Like, I feel like pitching is kind of like, so, you know, maybe they're like, you know what, we don't like the price for any of these arms, though, so let's see if we can outslug some of these guys. I mean, Voit's been a big disappointment this year. You know, Frazier didn't really pan out. They gave him plenty of chances early in the year. Same with you know, Allen's looked pretty good the last couple of weeks playing out there, but you know, he's not Joey Gallo, right? So,
right.
I think the moves are good. I don't know that it elevates them beyond Toronto offensively. Go ahead.
Well, I think they're good moves to make it more crushing when the Yankees lose in the wild card game. That's kind of my takeaway. Like, yes, they're great. They're really good moves if you think of them as sort of long-termish maneuvers. Like, hey, now you're building a real lineup. But I do agree. I mean, today Cole got absolutely destroyed in Tampa. And now Tampa is
–
he's so bad against Tampa. It's really weird. You know, I shot – Nate a stat earlier against Gerrit Cole this season against the Rays in 24.2 innings, he's got a 5.11 ERA. Against the rest of baseball in 105.2 innings, he's got a 2.6 ERA. So just don't pitch him against the Rays and we'll be fine.
Maybe he just needs more spider tack when he's indoors.
Maybe. I'll help him.
I just have to get the digs in against Cole where I can.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, too, like beginning of this year, at one point last year, the guy was just looking so dominant, right? And then all of a sudden, he looks human. And it's like, what's wrong with him now? Because he's getting lit up, especially by Tampa. It's like they figured him out somehow. But he's not looking like even beyond that, he's – there were times where you watch him pitch and you're like, okay, that's why they invested that much in this guy as a pitcher because of, you know, how dominant he was looking. And now he starts to make you question that contract a little bit, I think.
Yeah, but us Yankee fans are so darn patient.
Mm. the patience of Job.
I like that. That's very funny. I don't disagree. I mean, I'd like to see the Yankees make a move to add an arm. It remains to be seen what happens with Kluber and Severino coming back into the starting rotation. There are absolutely chances that those guys could come back and contribute, and I think that would take a lot of the pressure off of Cole. Now, you know, in looking at Cole's last number of starts, I mean, he had a game, I think it was earlier in the season, a couple weeks ago, really, where he did throw a full nine. I don't think he had one bad start against the Mets where he kind of made it through three and a third. But other than that, the guy's made it to the fifth inning. I know he's had, he had a pretty good start. He hasn't been terrible. Let me put it this way. I think that's really what I'm trying to say, is he hasn't been,
all-world.
That's a fair point. No, he hasn't. And he should be for what he's getting paid. But
is
I'm not
really
sounding the alarm.
So we're counting on guys like the fifth inning. That's where we are in baseball collectively. Like he has make it to the fifth inning.
For one of the highest paid starting pitchers in the game, right? Like,
yeah.
Part of what they're paying him is we're going to give you this money and we're going to coddle you. That's the way it works. Look, going back to the Jabba rules when they had Jabba Chamberlain and Phil Hughes coming up, and they were like, we got to be careful with these guys. You know, we got to coddle them. So if we only throw them, like I say, every week, they treat these guys like it's a gas tank and not a muscle that can be, you know, stretched and taught and you know, you can't teach them to throw 5, 6, 7 innings. I don't know. I hate it. But, yes, the answer to the question
Dave,
is
this
yes.
Hurts
we're
my
celebrating
soul that
five
we're actually
innings, okay?
accepting of this. It hurts my soul that we're saying that one of the highest paid pitchers in baseball, it's acceptable for him to make the fifth. We're not talking about Matt Harvey or Jorge Lopez here. We're talking about Gerrit Cole. His expectation is 7 innings. That's where it should be. 6, 7 innings every time out. We shouldn't, like, we.
Yeah,
I don't understand where this acceptance of 5 innings
is coming
from.
The acceptance of 5 innings is because you want him, because they're not focused on trying to get the most out of him this year. They're trying to get the net most of him out of a combined, 7, 8, 9 years. They're trying to make the last 3 years of that contract significantly less painful than it should be. I agree. Run the guy into the ground for the first 6, 7 years of the contract and accept that the last 3-ish years will be it'll be painful. I mean, that's what you're paying for.
Well, you trade him.
Well, if you think about it, though.
We're the team who trades for that guy.
Listen, true. The Yankees have done this. The Yankees have done this for years. I mean, the big market, they overpay the guys. They pay they pay a lot of money for guys when they're at the peaks of their career, and they get as much out of them as they possibly can. I mean, that's general modus operandi, if you will. For the New York Yankees. And so it's just interesting to me because they got Cole. I was like, this guy's going to really move the needle for them. And then you look up and, like I said, he looks very, very, very human right now. But like I said, it could be worse. I mean, you could have been the Padres and decided to shell out a lot of money for Blake Snell.
I'm not, again, really ready to sound the alarm on him. I think when they ask him to perform in a big spot, like, say, the wild card game, that's where he'll throw you 7 absolute monster innings. I mean, the way the guy could go, he could have no hits through 7 innings. But then the Yankees will pull him and then somehow give up, 3 runs in the top of the 8th or something stupid. But, I don't know. So looking at the rest of the division, though, okay. So you've got – or the rest of the AL, right? So you've got Tampa Bay. They've made some moves. Oakland and Seattle look like they're making moves. Obviously, the Yankees have. I'm curious to see if a team like Toronto does anything interesting. Or do they need to? I think they need to. But it doesn't need to be anything –
I mean, that's like everybody else in baseball. The Blue Jays need an arm. They need a starting pitcher.
Well, Brad Hand, like, by the way, let's remember that they did get Brad Hand from the Nationals today. I don't know if I, gosh, was that today? I don't even remember. That was one of those deals that kind of happened, and then it got blown up. So that's a big deal for them. I, if you had said that earlier, I'd have completely agreed. But I think that was a big move to keep them in late games.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, having a guy that can set up or close is huge for you. But I think they need another arm in that rotation to compete in that division. I mean, to win that division, or at least to be in the wild card.
Who are the starters that you would say that are available right now that you would want to give somebody up for?
I'm going to think about that while this guy makes his comments. Right? Like, I'm going to see what I can come up with in my head while he's talking.
Well, and Dave, that's kind of the question that I threw out to you when we were right before the show with the Yankees. The Yankees want an arm. They're like, whoever doesn't get Scherzer, you have to go in after Berrios. And I think the Blue Jays, if they were to go hard after an arm for the rotation and try and make this playoff push, personally, my read on it, it's a mistake. I think they're a year away. They're still very, very young. They're making the push with the talent they have, but they're right around the 500 ball club. Yeah, the Fangraphs models and the Pythagorean theorem love them because they've got this huge positive run differential, but that's because they get to play the Orioles 16 times a year. So I think that's a little misleading. Like, I just don't think the Blue Jays are there. In spite of their ability to score, they can't keep people from scoring. I don't know that they're in a position that they should be making a run at anybody. I would much rather see them just kind of sit back, build your roster for next year. If you're in contention next year, that's where they should push because they got plenty of control with their young core. Their acquisition of Brad Hand, I kind of love it from an Orioles fan perspective because I'm going to thoroughly enjoy watching him blow saves north of the border, just like he blew the saves for the Nationals when the Orioles come to town and sweep the Nats right out of playoff contention and move them into sell mode. I'm going to love that.
Well, and I think to your point, when I say a starting pitcher, I'm not necessarily thinking you start trying to sell off a lot of the farm system for a guy like Scherzer. And I can't believe I'm actually going to say this next sentence with a straight face.
I don't know.
But there are a couple of arms in Colorado that could help as far as depth to rotations. And Herman Marquez and Austin Gombert, and then there's been talk about Kyle Gibson, though. I think he's going to return to the mean, and if somebody picks him up, he's probably going to get shelled for the last 2 months of the season. But, I mean, outside of Berrios, those are your guys probably.
But the Rockies have said Marquez is not available at any price. They're just not going to move him. The Rockies are, like, they'll trade Story, but right now he's having kind of a down year, and nobody's really beaten down the door to get him. Maybe some of those – I know I've seen some rumors of some clubs being linked to Gibson, so he's probably for sale, but like you say, he's probably going to regress to the mean. Hey, I've got an arm for the Blue Jays. If they really want to take an arm, they can have Matt Harvey. Let him go north of the border, and he can see what he can do with that rotation up there. He's been around before. He's been in the playoffs. Maybe he resurrects it. He's had two good starts. He actually made it through six innings the last two starts.
Maybe you call the Braves and offer Ulias Gurriel for Lourdes Gurriel. Ulias is the one in Houston. But maybe you offer Gurriel for Drew Smiley or something. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like you're just exchanging problems.
True.
Well, but you know what, though? It's funny, though, because Smiley's actually, if you go look at the numbers, Smiley's actually pitched pretty well the last couple of months. He started slow, and he's actually kind of started to pitch a lot better his last few times out. Gurriel is kind of one of those guys, right? He's got a lot of pop in his bat, but he's kind of been in a little bit of a funk. So does a change of scenery help him out? I don't know. But like you said, you might be exchanging problems, but if you're trying to do something like, looking for a depth piece or a guy to add to that rotation, I don't know. I don't know what we get out of Ryu and other guys moving forward, but that's an interesting thing. I really quickly, you know, you talked about how close a lot of these other teams are, and it almost makes you, like, I'm kind of bummed that this is the one year in his professional career that Mike Trout has really had such significant injuries, because you look at the kind of season that we're getting out of Ohtani. Nobody's ever seen anything like this. And a healthy Mike Trout, I mean, as close as these guys are in the standings, maybe helps move the needle for them. And we finally get to see baseball's best player in October.
Wow. That's a great point. They're only a half a game behind the Blue Jays, two behind the Yankees, three behind Seattle, and five overall out of the wild card spot. And I would say adding Mike Trout's a pretty good player. So, yeah. Hey, Mike, I just really want to give you a quick shout. Again, we appreciate you calling in. We're getting ready to wrap up our show for the night, but I just want to give you, Mike, we always like to give our loyal callers a little bit of a platform. So anything you want to say before we give you the old cut off and wrap it up for the night?
Oh, yeah, man. Once again, thanks for having me. Chopped it up with you guys last night as well. We'll be on Sunday morning as well. So for the brunch, you know, much appreciation and love to the Timeless Wonder TP for bringing me aboard and having me join you guys. There's a big after these guys finish up over here, for those of you that want to jump on, there's an NBA draft thing going on Clubhouse. The barbershop's got a room open. Timeless is holding it down over there with some of the moderators over there talking about the NBA draft tonight. But, the Clubhouse app now needs no invite, so feel free to jump in and check out the barbershop. Those guys definitely know how to do it. We have a lot of fun. It's a fun moderator team and a good group over there. So check them out there. You can also check me out on Twitter at MikeHarvey149 and Instagram at LSUFan149. And thanks again. I hope to continue to be part of Sports City Chefs, and thank you guys for having me.
Please do. We love it when you call in, Mike. And that NBA stuff, man. I don't know if you've been keeping up with it, Nate. I'm a pretty solid basketball fan myself. But man, Russell Westbrook getting moved. The NBA draft is going on tonight. That's been a lot of fun. So feel free to check out Mike and the guys in the Clubhouse app. Nate, I'm going to give you a little bit to plug something as we wrap it up for the day.
So I've got two little tidbits. The first is going to be non-baseball related. The U.S. men's national team, the soccer, is in the middle of the Gold Cup. They're playing with their mostly reserve squad. They beat Qatar tonight 1-0 with an 86-minute winner. They are moving through to the Gold Cup finals. They will face the winner of Mexico and Canada in the final game on Sunday. So if you're a soccer fan, check that out. Gold Cup U.S. making that run. Got to get back in the World Cup qualifiers. And back to baseball, since it is trade deadline. Well, it's our version of a trade deadline day show. And we need a trivia point. How many players, we all know the classic player to be named later in the trades that happen. How many times has a player been traded for himself, Dave?
Ooh, I think it's three times.
We have four times. Harry Chidi with the New York Mets got traded from the Indians and then right back to the Indians. Brad Golden from the between the Yankees and the Mariners. Dickie Knowles with the Cubs and the Tigers. And John McDonald with the Blue Jays and the Tigers.
Love it. All right, guys.
Great stuff.
It has been an absolute blast with you guys. Just want to give a couple last notes on the day. Feel free to check us all out on SportsCityChefs.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Sports City Chefs. I will be releasing a special series of what I will call lunch breaks, which will be looking at some in-depth look at NFL teams. My first one will be the Jets. I'm a beloved Jets fan. Unfortunately, it's been quite a life. But everybody, again, check us out at www.sportcitychefs.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I have said enough for a lifetime. And for the last time, I wish you all a very pleasant good evening. Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs, Sports City, Sports City.
City. Chef, chef, Sport City, Sport City. Chef, chef, Sport City, Sport City. Kaboom, Sport City chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, bloom like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sport City chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sport City, Sport City, chef, chef. Sport City, Sport City, chef, chef. Yeah. Cabin. Todd.
Woo! Connecticut.